Henry Nouwen, one of the great spiritual teachers and directors, if you will, of our time, shares in with Burning Heart about the Word of God, that it's important to know that although these words, read or spoken, are there to inform, instruct, or inspire us, their first significance is that they make Jesus himself present to us. On our journey, Jesus explains to us the passages that are about himself. And whether we read the book of Exodus, the Psalms, the prophets, or the Gospels, they are there to make our hearts burn. The Eucharistic presence is, first of all, a presence through the Word. Without that presence through the Word, we won't be able to recognize his presence in the breaking of the bread. You know, these are amazing words from Henry Nouwen, again, great spiritual director of our time, priest, a theologian, and as he shares with us more about what it means to live a Eucharistic life in with burning hearts, he says something to us today that's very profound, and that is, in order to really understand the Eucharistic presence in the body and blood of Christ that we'll be sharing in just a few moments, we also need to really understand his presence in the Word, that his Word in the Scriptures to us, his word as we pray it during the liturgy and during our intercessions, his word as we receive it is actually a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as you and I receive his word, it will enable us to see his presence in the Eucharist even more so and better. Today in our second lesson in 2 Timothy 3:16, a great scripture that I go to a lot talks about the word of God. It says that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And again, at the very beginning of that scripture in Timothy, it says all scripture is inspired by God. The scripture that you love to read and the scripture that you hate to read. The scripture that you could just read a few words of it and it'll excite you, and then another scripture that you read just a few words of it and you fall asleep. It says all scripture is inspired by God. And that word inspired is very important. In the Greek, it means God breathed. God breathed it. You know, it's interesting as you look at the scriptures what God breathed. If you look in the Old Testament, it talks about God breathing into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. That our God is so creative and so amazing that he was able to take dust, the dust that you and I walk on, dust in the wind, and breathe into it through his creative force and form men and women, humanity. How amazing is that? In the book of, in the Gospels, we read about Jesus. Before he ascended to the Father, it says that he breathed on his disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. Wonderful, wonderful truth that's taught there. And then again, what we're hearing today in 2 Timothy 3:16, at the very beginning of this verse, very important, that all scripture is inspired by God, every part of it, and that God breathed it. And what that means is that as God breathed forth the scripture, as he inspired different people to write the scriptures, that God has been a part of it. There's all kinds of different authors throughout time, throughout the centuries, who are part of writing the Bible. They have written in psalms and in song. They have written more of a narrative or historical format like the Gospel of Luke. They have written instructive letters to the early churches like the Apostle Paul. So many different ways of writing, so many different ways to express things, so many different minds, so many different ways of looking at things. And yet through the breath of God, through the inspiration of God, God was speaking through each and every one of them and still does to this day. There are some people who would argue that because of this difference, because there's so many different people who look at it in so many different ways, that the Word of God is really just a book of myths, of fairy tales, of philosophy, but not really God's Word. But I would submit to you that given the unity that is present throughout millennial through the Word of God, through God speaking through His people in such a coherent way, speaking about salvation, speaking about the Messiah, up through the book of Revelation, to me, it speaks of the authenticity of God's Word and that God indeed breathed life into His Word for you and for me. You know, life is in the breath, and an intelligent spirit was communicating with that breath. As God inspired and breathed upon the disciples, as He breathed upon the authors of the Scripture, He was anointing them. He was inspiring them. He was moving them. That is why to this day, as you and I get into the Scripture, we can be reading a particular verse that we've read 100 times, and then that morning or that night, on the 101st time, your heart begins to burn within you. God begins to touch your heart in a new way, because His Word is alive. His Word is anointed. His Word is full of life, bringing life to all who will receive it. Powerful and awesome stuff. God's breath is a divine impartation of His anointed life. Living humanity, anointed humanity, and inspired humanity. And so again, I have said this so many times since I've been here, but I'll say it again today. If you are not in the Scriptures every day, and if you do a devotional, that's wonderful. I think that's great. I encourage a daily devotional life. But if you're not actually reading the Word of Scripture, you are starving yourself spiritually. You are not getting in touch with the anointing and the breath of God in the way that you and I need to. Now, let me share something with you about what that really means. You know, you and I could go without food for a number of days, and we would be okay. Wouldn't like it. Wouldn't be enjoyable. But we could do that. And again, you and I as human beings could go without water or drink for a few less days than that. We wouldn't like it. We'd feel very parched, but we would make it over a few days. But how many of us would make it if we stopped breathing right now? Not long at all. Breathing is really essential, isn't it, to us continuing to live on from this moment into the moments to come. Breath and life are so intricately interwoven, and it's important for you and I not only to realize that as we breathe physically, it brings us life, but we need to breathe spiritually. And we need to be open to God breathing upon us afresh each and every moment of our lives. Wherever we are, whatever we're going through, whether we're in a valley or on a mountaintop, we need the breath of God. There's one other thing that Nouwen shares about God's Word that to me is surprising, but I would agree with, and that is God's Word is sacramental. Again, a sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Nouwen shares, the sacramental quality of the Word makes God present not only as an intimate personal presence, but also as a presence that gives us a place in the great story of salvation. The God who became present to us is not only the God of our heart, but also the God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah. The Eucharist, as we celebrate it in the sacred liturgy, calls us to a Eucharistic life, a life in which we are continually aware of our role in the sacred story of God's redemptive presence through all generations. The great temptation of our lives is to deny our role as a chosen people and so allow ourselves to be trapped in the worries of our daily lives. Now, all of us as human beings have our daily lives to be concerned about, don't we? But one of the things that I think Nouwen is pointing to is that you and I need to begin to embrace what it is for you and me to be a chosen people, to be chosen by God, to be special to Him, to be holy. Holy simply means to be sacred, to be set apart. You and I sometimes live into that, sometimes we don't. But the call never changes. The chosenness is always there. And so as you and I go through our day today, wondering what we might be buying later on at the grocery store, wondering about who we're going to be hanging out with or our walk along the golf or wherever we may be, about all of the very plans that we have today. My question to you and me is, how much are we wondering about what it looks like for you and me to be the chosen of God, to be special to Him, to be breathed on about Him. And as I ask you that question here today, if you're simply drawing a huge question mark in your mind, that's okay. Father Joe, I don't even know what that means. I'm glad you're not asking for a show of hands right now, because I would not want to put my hand up. It's okay. But I ask you, along with me here today, to have the courage to begin to ask that question. Jesus, what does it mean for me to be special to you? What does it mean that you've chosen me? What does it mean that each and every moment that I draw the breath of life, you want to breathe upon me the breath of your life into every situation? I think that's a very important question for you and I to ask today, and to be open to how the Lord might answer that. To hear His word, to be enlivened by His word, to be encouraged by His word. And let me say one more thing before I close this message off today. When I was growing up in the church as a young boy and into my teen years, we would study the Bible every so often in catechism, but I'll be honest with you, it bored me to death. I mean, it bored me. I would read anything but the Bible because it was just boring to me. But one of the things I found is that in my own life, I needed to have my spiritual eyes opened. I needed to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, receive Him as my Lord and Savior, be open to the power of the Holy Spirit. And then as I read the Bible, I asked for the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to begin to spiritually understand and receive what God wanted to breathe upon me. And guess what? I couldn't put the book down. I couldn't put the book down. It's kind of like going into a 3D movie, but not having 3D glasses. Right? We need the spiritual eyes from the Lord God Almighty to be able to really receive and breathe in this living Word of God. In closing, Billy Sunday was one of the great evangelists in our day, great man of God, who was a preacher of God's Word, who lifted up God's Word as inspired, as profitable for our training and correcting and rebuking and encouragement in our walk with the Lord, in following Him and being open to His life. In his Bible, the following quotation was found. 29 years ago, with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered at the portico of Genesis, walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries, where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of the Psalms, where the Spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I entered the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley, where sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs, and on into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star which was to rise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Luke, and John, thence into the correspondence room of Paul, Peter, James, and John, writing their epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, with the healing of nations in his hand. And I cried out, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Amen and amen and amen to that.